For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Apostles in the Temple, as we pick up in Acts chapter 5, verse 21. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
So when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, and they began to teach. But the high priest and those that were with him called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have them brought forth. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, and so they reported back to them, saying, the prison, truly we found secure. It was shut with all security, safety. And the guards were standing outside before the doors. But when we opened the doors, there was no one there. They've disappeared. Now the guards were still standing there. The place was still locked. And yet when they opened the door to the inner prison, their rooms, they were empty. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they began to wonder, boy, how, you know, what's going to come of this story now? Then one came in and told them, saying, the men that you put in prison are standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. God's got to have a sense of humor. Here is this, you know, the joint meeting of the Senate and the House of Representatives called by the president. Got to deal with this problem. And so you send down to Leavenworth, you have the prisoners brought, you know, and they get inside and their cells are empty. And then, you know, here's this whole August assembly of the leaders, you know, ready to try these men. And here someone says, well, they're right back in the temple. They're over there teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers, and they brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. They're excitable people over there. And as Don was sharing with you, things haven't changed much. Don stayed out of that cave or that digging in order that he would not be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. You remember in the last chapter, when they were standing before the council with the lame man, they were strictly charged not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And Peter responded, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they threatened them further and let them go. Now he brings up this. He said, didn't we strictly charge you not to speak anymore in this name? And then he makes an interesting admission. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Now that is an interesting testimony, not by the evangelist. You have to watch the testimonies of evangelists. Sometimes they are exaggerated. we used to have a term, evangelistically speaking, and it means that you blow up the figures significantly. Well, how many were there? Oh, I suppose there were several hundred, at least 25. But evangelistically speaking, you know. So this was not their own report. This is the report of their enemy. You have filled Jerusalem with this man's doctrine. Would to God that our enemies could testify against us and make that charge. Would to God they could say, you've filled Orange County with this man's doctrine. Wouldn't that be glorious? If we could fill Orange County with the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that we could see such a move of God that everyone in the county would be cognizant of what God was doing. Instead, unfortunately, the church is gaining great notoriety in the county for other things than proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's rather tragic, isn't it? The church is gaining notoriety for the wrong things. Secondly, you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, if you remember when Pilate was trying Jesus and these men were manipulating the crowd to seek his crucifixion, finally, when Pilate saw that he couldn't prevail, he ordered a basin brought and he began to wash his hands in the basin. In a symbolic gesture, he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. See ye to it. And what did they respond? His blood be upon us and on our children. Now they're upset, saying to Peter, you're seeking to bring this man's blood on us. And for certain, when Peter was standing before them, he said unto them, if you want to know by what power and all this lame man was healed, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. And so he puts the blame right where it belongs. And yet now they don't want to receive the accusation or the blame, yet it was their responsibility. Peter made mention of the fact that Pilate was wanting to let him go, but they insisted on his death. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That word ought there is again, not a totally accurate translation. The Greek word is must. We must obey God rather than men. Didn't we strictly charge you not to speak anymore in this man's name? Their answer is, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God. Oh, that we would experience and feel in our own hearts that divine imperative. I must obey God. Unfortunately, we take so oftentimes a careless attitude in this area of obedience. Well, yes, I should be obeying. Oh, I ought to obey God. Yes, I know that I should. But these men felt it much deeper. They said, we must obey God rather than men. And I think that this is the rule. Should ever the time come, should we be living under the laws or jurisdictions created by man that would infringe upon my responsibilities to God, and the law of the land would be contrary to the law of God, that I would have to take that very same position. I must obey God rather than man. And then they went on to testify, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. They just said, you're trying to bring his blood on us. And Peter just throws a bucket on them. I mean, he just lays it out. Whom you slew and hanged on a tree. But notice, he's preaching again the resurrection. God has raised Jesus. Secondly, God has exalted him to his right hand to be the prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Paul said he was raised for our justification at the right hand of God to be the prince, the savior. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And here we find the Holy Spirit is given in obedience to those that obey, and that is believing on Jesus Christ, repenting from your sins, believing on Jesus Christ, obedient to the command of God, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Talk about conviction. And they took counsel to slay them. Then there stood up one in the council who was a Pharisee. His name was Gamaliel. He was a doctor of the law. He had a very high reputation among the people. And he asked that they put the apostles out of the room. And he said unto them, you men of Israel, now you be careful what you intend to do in regards to these men. For in days before this, there rose up Thutis, who was boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. And when he was slain, all of those that were following him were scattered, and the whole issue was brought to nothing. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and he drew away many people after him, and he also perished, and all, even as many as were following him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, because you'll find yourself in the position of fighting against God. So this wise counsel by Gamaliel to these men who were plotting to kill the disciples. Look, we got rid of the leader. And these kind of things have arisen before. Others have risen up, gathered followers around them. But it always just dissipated once the leader was killed. So let's just let it go. Now, this is the argument from a position of weakness, not a position of strength. You usually just don't let things go to see how they are going to turn out. But it was the counsel of Gamaliel, and they accepted this counsel. Interestingly enough, this is the Gamaliel of which Paul was a prize student. In some of the early writings that were discovered, Gamaliel said of Paul that he had only one difficulty with Paul as a student. He said he was an extremely zealous student. His only difficulty was providing him with enough books. He was a real bookworm. And Gamaliel had difficulty just providing him with sufficient number of books because of his tremendous thirst for knowledge. Now, they agreed to Gamaliel's counsel partly. He said, just let them alone. But they called the apostles back in and they beat them. They didn't just let them alone. They beat them and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Well, that's probably the end of it. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How do you stop men like that? The answer is you don't. They're unstoppable. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Notice both teaching and preaching. Preaching is the proclaiming of God's good news and should basically be done to the unconverted. But once a man has received Jesus Christ, his real need then is that of being taught. And this is where the church has made a grave mistake. Because the church continues to produce great preachers, but is not really producing teachers. And thus, the sheep are not getting strong, because they're being preached at Sunday after Sunday rather than being taught. Our preaching should be done on the street corners, and our teaching should be done within the church. Preaching is a great Saturday night ministry when the young people are attracted by the groups that are playing and singing. But once they have received Christ, then the great need of being taught in the way of righteousness and truth. Now, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, we found the church, the Lord adding to the church, and now he's multiplying. I love the Lord's mathematics. There arose a murmuring. Now, another problem with this community living that was practiced by the early church, sharing everything. Another problem arises here in chapter 6. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, daily the people would come to receive their dole from the church. They had everything in common, and so they had a commissary, and each day they would give out according to the needs of the people, give them their food and all. Now, the Grecians do not imply that they were Greeks, but they were Jews who had followed the Hellenist culture. Many of the Jews had taken Greek names and had become totally acculturated to the Grecian culture, which was spread throughout the world by Alexander the Great. Greece brought culture to the ancient world. And even after Rome conquered over Greece, these pockets of Grecian culture remained and were strong in the ancient world. And there were those who had adapted the Greek culture. There were those who were still living by a strict Hebrew culture. So when it speaks of the Grecians and the Hebrews, they were all of them Jews. But there were those who were of the Greek culture, the Hellenistic culture, those of the Hebrew culture. Now, those who had adopted the Hellenistic culture felt that there was favoritism when they were doling out the supplies and all, that there was favoritism being shown towards those who were of the Hebrew culture. The little old women who would come up in their Hebrew garb, would get an extra dole, where these ladies that would come in their Grecian fashions, their sharp Grecian fashions, they would give them less. And they said, hey, wait a minute. This isn't right. That these widows who are of the Hebrew culture are getting more than those of the Grecian culture. So they came to the disciples with this problem, to the apostles. And so the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. They had a big gathering of the people. And they said, it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve at these tables. In other words, we have more important things to do than to stand at the tables and to dole out the church's welfare. It isn't right, it isn't reasonable that we should have to take the responsibility of doling out the church's goods. Wherefore, brethren, look out from among yourself 7 men, and these are the traits or the characteristics they are to possess. 1, they are to be men of honest report. 2, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 5 through 6. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bring you into a special consciousness of His presence, of His love, of His interest in your life. And may you walk in the consciousness of God's grace and be led by His Spirit. May you come into a new relationship with God, a very personal relationship with God. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Pastor Chuck Smith's most requested, is an MP3 collection that contains 12 Bible study messages by Pastor Chuck, all popular favorites and often requested by his listeners. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order this MP3 set at TWFT.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.